My name is Jeff Archie, and thank you for joining us once again on this broadcast. Our scripture reading and our tidings tidbit will be from Colossians 3, verses 1 through 6. Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. They have been translated into the kingdom already, Colossians 1:13. Paul is writing to simple New Testament Christians. And he says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, or put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." If ye then be risen with Christ, here is the statement. If simply means, well, you are and you should do this. They were risen with Christ through their baptism into Christ. Now, my friends, I realize there are many in the religious world that say baptism is not necessary for salvation. But to be risen with Christ, you have to be baptized. That's Colossians 2:12 and Romans 6:1-6. As risen with Christ, these individuals were to conduct their lives a certain way. They were to set their affection on things above, or not to put their treasures on the earth, as Jesus taught in Matthew 6:19-21. They had to put to death or put aside the life they once lived. And in the book of Colossians, they understood what it meant to be a Christian. Here is one leaves one way of living and then turn around and lives the right way. It's a great blessing in that the Christian is saved, Acts 2:47. It's a great blessing that they are called Christians, a biblical name, Acts 11:26. And they do so by obeying the gospel of Christ, through hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17, believing Jesus is the Son of God, John 8:32, Hebrews 11:1, and also they repent of their sins as Jesus commanded in Luke 13:3, and as Peter preached in Acts 2:38. They confess Jesus as the Son of God, confessing Him before men, Jesus taught us in Matthew 10:32, and to see that confession before man that the eunuch did in Acts 8:37. And then as mentioned, they are baptized into Christ for remission of sins, Acts 2:38. To be saved, Mark 16:16. To have sins washed away, Acts 22:16. And for this we are grateful. It is a great blessing to be a Christian. My friend, are you a Christian? Today we'd like to ask the question in our study, what does it mean to be a Christian? In Colossians 3:1-6, we learn of those who have been risen with Christ and how they put to death those things that they once adhered to. But you know, we ask the question, what does it mean to be a Christian? You know, today there are a lot of people who declare to be Christians, but yet you see their actions quite differently from what the Bible says. You also find there are those who declare to be Christians that don't even darken the door of a church building. And you find those who declare to be Christians that adhere to denominational doctrine that you wonder, how can such be? Well, as you and I consider for the next few moments, what does it mean to be a Christian? Let us go to the Bible for our answers. First of all, we would submit that, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means that Christ is in you. Colossians 1:26-27 reminds us how Christ is in us, the hope of glory. And we preach Christ that He may be in the life of others. In John 15, beginning with verse 1, Jesus teaches a beautiful story of how He is the true vine and His Father is the husbandman. Let's read John 15, beginning with verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. The concluding thought in 8 is that when we're in Christ, we will bear much fruit. That means you and I have to be on our very best. How many times do we see the word in throughout our reading? Well, 2 times in 7, 1 time in 6, 2 times in 5, 4 times in 4, and 1 in verse 2. So we realize that we are to be in Christ because Christ is in us, and we bear fruit because we are hooked into Him, the true vine. You know, recently I have to purge branches back on a tree or a bush. And once that branch is severed, it's going to die because it no longer has the life of the vine. When we sever ourselves from Christ, we no longer can feed off of Him. That's why when there are those that pull away from Him, they become weaker and weaker. It means to be a Christian that Christ is in us, and we must reflect that. But second, I submit to you, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means that you have the mind of Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The mind of Christ needs to have a mind of humility in our lives. We see that in Philippians 2, 1 through 4. Paul teaches us through inspiration how we should walk and not think highly of ourselves, but think of others. We have a mind of compassion. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 3 and 4, we see that we are to have a mind of forgiveness. When one sins and repents and asks us to forgive them, we should forgive them, no matter how many times they might ask. They asked Jesus, would it be 7 times? And Jesus said, 70 times 7. It's unlimited when the person comes and says, forgive me. The mind of Christ possesses a mind of humility, a mind of compassion, and a mind of forgiveness that we as Christians are to possess ourselves. Thirdly, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means you have been crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave Himself for me. When you think about it, dear friends, a crucified man looks in only one direction. A crucified man also looks for hope, and a crucified man knows what crimes were committed. And when we are crucified with Christ, we look in one direction. We look above. We look for hope, Romans 8, verse 24. And we know the crime or the sin that was done before, and we know it's been taken away. Why would anybody want to return back to a life that they left and live the way they once did? But in Christ, one can be a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. One can press onward knowing that there's a better hope today than yesterday. and a stronger hope tomorrow than the day before. It means you've been crucified with Christ in your life, you now that you live in the flesh. You live by the faith of the Son of God. You live by walking faithful for Him. It's a change. It's a walk. Recently, my sister asked me how I was able to deal with some challenges that our family is having in areas of health. And I explained to her that I think it's just been growing in my faith over the years that seemed to help me deal with things better than I once did. Now, I say that, folks, with all humility, because there can be something out there tomorrow that can really knock me for a loop, but I'm striving to grow in my faith to help me to deal with those things that I may press onward. You see, to be a Christian means we have Christ in us. To be a Christian means we have the mind of Christ. And to be a Christian means we've been crucified with Christ. Yes, my friends, it is a changed life, but a better life with greater assurance, more than one has without Christ. Number four, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means that you have put on the armor of God. Listen to Ephesians 6, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The Christian must be prepared for battle. It's a spiritual battle, and when one is a Christian, they're ready to take on the fight, for they're on the side of good and right. 2 Corinthians 10:4 reminds us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we must have on that complete armor of God. It's also called the armor of light in Romans 13:12, and the armor of righteousness in 2 Corinthians 6:7. The armor is necessary for the soldier of the cross. In the worship service, we sing a hymn called Soldiers of Christ Arise. And we must have the full armor on, or the panoplia. It's a Greek word where we get the word panoply that's used in that song. But take to arm you for the fight the panoply of God, which means take to arm you for the fight the whole armor of God. Now, friends, let me share something with you interesting. If you leave off one part of that armor, you're going to go down in defeat. Let's just say that you and I put aside the shield of faith. While we may have salvation, we can't use our faith to defend off the fiery darts, and then we're attacked and defeated. We can't do that. Share something else with you. Look at the armor of God and see what covers the back. Nothing covers the back. Because as a Christian, we look toward the front in battle, and we face our opponent head on, and we know what happens if we, as in the old saying, hightail and run. What's going to happen? You see, what it means to be a Christian, that we have on the armor of God, that we can stand in battle and do those things that are needed. And now, my friends, let's consider, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means salvation and a reward in heaven. We understand from Matthew 25:31-40, that there will be those that will be saved and those that will be lost. We also understand in 2 Timothy 4:6-8, that there are those who will receive that crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give them, and it will be those that will be prepared. My friend, you simply just can't live any way that you want and expect when you die heaven will be there. No, my friends, we must be obedient. We must have Christ in us. We must have the mind of Christ. We must be crucified with Christ. We must have on that armor of God in battle and press onward faithfully every day. and it means salvation and a reward in heaven. My friend, do you have that reward? Have you responded in obedience with faith in God, with a repentant heart, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and been buried with Him in the waters of baptism for those sins to be washed away? Do you know you can do that any time? Let us know how we can help you, and we'll be glad to help you every way that we can. Secondly, I would suggest that if you have not walked faithful to the Lord, you haven't been to worship in a number of years, you haven't walked according to God's will and God's way, we'd like to encourage you to begin life anew. It's not too late, and we'd love for you to begin life anew.